We're continuing our study of the life of Abraham and applying his life to New Testament truth. And we're in the 18th chapter of Genesis. And I want to read the first 8 verses of Genesis chapter 18. To set the tone of our thoughts this morning, the Lord appeared unto him, that is Abraham, in the plain of Mamre, and he sat in the door, or the tent door, in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, 3 men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door, and bowed himself toward the ground, and said, My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread, and comfort ye your hearts. And after that ye shall pass on, for therefore are ye come to your servant. And they said, So do as thou hast said. And Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah, and said, Make ready quickly 3 measures of fine flour, or fine meal, knead it, and make cakes unto thee upon the hearth. And Abraham ran unto the herd, and fetched a calf tender and good, and gave it unto a young man, and he hasted to dress it. And he took butter and milk, and the calf which he had dressed, and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. Here we find Abraham encountering the Lord and 2 angels. And we find Abraham sitting in the door of his tent in the heat of the day. The tent door is the place where we walk, just like the children of Israel walked through the doors of their home where the blood was applied, if you recall the Passover. But there's an interesting passage of Scripture in Exodus chapter 33 and verse 10 where it says that and all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose up and worshiped every man in his tent door. Abraham was in a place of worship. He was in a place of fellowship with the Lord. That's the point that I think that we can get from this passage of Scripture. And I think that we can see that the Lord responded to Abraham in his place with fellowship. He came to him. When the Lord came to him, the Lord and the 2 angels, in verses 3 and 4 it says, And Abraham said, My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. Here we find Abraham as a servant. He was ready with hospitality. And he washed their feet. That's just nothing in the world but ministry unto those who came his way. And we need to appreciate the fact that hospitality and ministry is important to the Lord. The Lord responded to Abraham's efforts. He says, when he uses the term, I pray thee, that is an expression of please. That's just saying, will you please let me serve you, or please don't go away, please let me fetch you some water to wash your feet and rest under the tree. And Hebrews 6:10 tells us that God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward his name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. The Lord is impressed when we minister to each other. Hebrews 13 tells us we need to entertain strangers, because you don't know who you're entertaining. You may be entertaining angels. In Matthew chapter 25 and verse 40, it tells us, "The king shall answer unto them," this king being the Lord Jesus Christ, "Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me." We need to appreciate the fact that when we minister to each other, we need to minister to each other just as if we were ministering to the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we minister to Him, we need to cut every corner and shave every... No, that doesn't sound right, does it? When we minister to Him, we want to do it just like that woman who took a year's pay and poured it on Him. Remember the alabaster box? That alabaster box cost a year's wages. She lavished upon Him all that she had. We need to minister to each other generously. And I think that we experience that here. I do. I do feel that here. So Abraham was ministering to the Lord as a servant. In Genesis 18 verses 5 through 8, the term is used as it is in verse 4, where he says, "From thy servant." Let me just read this again. "And I will fetch a morsel of bread and comfort ye your hearts, for after that ye shall pass on, for therefore are ye come to your servant." And they said, "So do as thou hast said." And Abraham hastened into the tent. And then down in verse 7 it says, "And Abraham ran into the herd." We need to remind ourselves that Abraham is 99 years old. And here he is running. And he is running when? In the heat of the day. In the time when you don't run. When it's hot. It's exhausting. And notice that in verse 8, it says in the latter part of that verse, "He stood by them under the tree." Now I think it's perfectly okay if you have unexpected guests and you prepare them a meal, it's okay for you to sit down and have some food with them. But you know what? Abraham didn't do that. You know what Abraham was doing? He was standing by the table to see if they had any other needs. Now that is a servant's heart. He didn't sit down and eat with them. He stood by the table ready to do whatever they needed. He says he stood, they didn't eat, and he stood by them under the tree. Jesus reminded his disciples that he that is going to be great in the kingdom is he that is going to do the serving now. In Luke 22:27 says, "For where there is greater, he that sitteth at meat or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat, but I am among you as one or as he that serveth." Jesus Christ was a servant while he was here on the earth. And Abraham was the servant and he was ministering to those who visited him. Now, I think this is significant, this 18th chapter, in that we see the beginning of the days of Lot. Because the Lord was coming to Abraham to let him know what he was going to be doing with Sodom and Gomorrah. In verse 17 of chapter 18 it says, "And the Lord said, Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do?" And the implication is no. I'm not going to hide from Abraham what I'm getting ready to do. And in verse 20 it says, "And the Lord said, Because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous." That's the reason why he was there. Amos 3 in verse 7 tells us, "Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealed his secret unto his servants the prophets." Now I want to emphasize the fact that he reveals his secrets to the prophets, not to us. If we're going to get any of the secrets from the Lord, we have to study the prophets. And who are the prophets? They're the ones who wrote the book. The study of the Word of God is paramount if you're going to know what the Lord's going to do. Our people today are waiting for revelations from above to for the Lord to tell him what he's getting ready to do. But that's the reason why the study of the Word is very important to us here. It's because the study of the Word will allow us to prepare ourselves for unexpected visitors. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, in verses 1 through 5, it tells us of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. I think that's one of the reasons why it's significant that Abraham was sitting in the tent in the heat of the day. Abraham was in the day. He was not in the dark. Now, the heat of the day implies something very important to us. People in that area of the world rested in the heat of the day. So was Abraham actually looking for visitors or expecting any visitors? Not really. The Word of God says, in an hour that you think not, the Son of Man will come. And in the heat of the day, you don't expect anybody to be traveling in the heat of the day in that land. You expect people to relax. I remember when I was in the Navy and we flew into Athens, Greece. And we flew in there about, maybe one or two in the afternoon. So we went to the hotel and got all set up in the hotel. So we wanted to go get something to eat. So about 4:30, 5 o'clock, we went down to the restaurant. And we went inside the restaurant. We were the only ones there. In Athens, Greece, that place shuts down from about 1 to 5 in the evening, or the afternoon, or 1 to 6, I don't know what. Anyway, there was nothing going on in that town because people were resting. And I don't think that the people in the restaurant were expecting a couple of sailors to come walking in, because we didn't have our uniforms on, because we were supposed to be very conspicuous. We were supposed to fit in, you know. But we stuck out like sore thumbs because we didn't know when to go into the restaurant. The place livens up about 8 o'clock at night and doesn't shut down until after midnight. Anyway, so Abraham was there in the heat of the day and he had some unexpected visitors. The Lord is going to come unexpectedly. But there was one thing that Abraham was doing. He was watching. We need to appreciate the fact that we need to watch because we don't know when He is going to return. Matthew 25:13, we find the Lord Jesus telling in the parable of the virgins, "Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh." You don't know when He is coming. And they ask Him, "Lord, open unto us." Excuse me. You don't know when the Lord is coming. So we just need to appreciate the fact that we don't know when the Lord is coming, but we need to be watching. That's the key. In Genesis 18:2, it says, "He lifted up his eyes and looked." Abraham was looking. He lifted up his eyes and he was looking. In Luke chapter 21, verse 28, it says, "And when these things began to come to pass, then look up. Lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh." Well, before we get into the things that are going to come to pass, notice that it says, when you see these things happening, start looking up and lift up your heads. What is the expression of lifting up your heads? That's not holding it and doing this. Lifting up your heads means to be encouraged. What happens when somebody is discouraged? They hang down their heads. they start looking at the ground. We need to lift up our heads and be encouraged and rejoice in the fact, even though these things that are coming to pass on the earth are not good things, but they are signs. They are indicators. What kind of indicators? Indicators that the soon return of the Lord is at hand. So we find Abraham lifting up his eyes and he looked. And the three men that appeared unto him did not catch him off guard. That's the other thing. The things that are going to come to pass here on the earth is in Luke 21, 25 through 26. It says, "And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth, distress of nations, with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken." This seems to be an even period of time that these are so emphasized again. I just think about El Nino. The waves roaring. And what's happening out on the west coast? Houses are falling into the sea. I was talking to Lee Haugen, and he and his wife have been traveling in California for a couple of weeks, and then in Arizona for a couple of weeks. But he says that they were traveling down the coast, they came upon a house that was sitting upon a mound of dirt. And he used the Dairy Queen cone to help me to picture this house. And he says, "Have you ever seen a Dairy Queen cone?" I said, "Yeah." He says, "It's got a little curlicue on top, doesn't it? A little kind of little curl." He says, "We drove down the highway. We saw a house that was sitting on top of a Dairy Queen cone, and it was a little curlicue on top. And it was sitting there just rocking. And the only thing keeping it from falling off of that mound of dirt was there was no strong winds and the beam that was under it. But we can see the seas roaring and causing pestilence even today, more so than maybe a year ago. But obviously there are signs in the sun and in the moon and the stars. When you think about the space program, today people are talking about setting up a place, a colony on the moon. Why? Oh, we found some water up there. And so they're going to set up a colony on the moon. Well, we just got through exploring Mars with a little mechanical tractor and looking for life and anticipating putting a colony on Mars. And then the spaceship that has traveled beyond our solar system, still sending information back to us after many, many years. I was trying to think of the name of that little probe. Apollo. What was the name of that little spaceship that went out? Anyway, it's been out there for many, many years, and it will last for a long time to come. It's got a nuclear reactor on it that's keeping the batteries running, and it's way out in space. But anyway, men's hearts are failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. When we think about the stock market in this country, people are excited. But when you think about the stock market and the failure of countries in the Far East, Malaysia, what's going on in Japan, people over there are committing suicide because of financial failure. Living in the last times, when you see these things coming to pass, what should we be doing? We should be lifting up our heads, and we should be looking up. Luke 21, verses 34 through 36, gives us our personal responsibility. We're to take heed to ourselves, lest at any time our hearts be overcharged. What is overcharged? That's overloaded or in debt, beyond the capacity of the heart. With surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life. What do we mean by surfeiting? Too great amount of time. is surfeiting. Excess time. Excess money. Too many things. To be overindulged. And we're living in a time when this is going on. Did you know that the heart can be overcharged with that? What does that mean? When we think about how our hearts are so insensitive to things today, we're never satisfied with what we do have. We're always looking for something else. And when I think about the violence that we see on TV and the murders that we can watch, our hearts become insensitive. They're overcharged. It becomes no big deal to see somebody being shot or killed. It's just, well, one of those things, you know. Then we go on. But anyway, we need to be careful. We need to take heed to ourselves lest our hearts be overcharged with too much. Drunkenness, of course, we know that has to do with alcohol, but it also has to do with emotions. Powerful emotions. We can be drunk on that. By the way, I got some of this information just out of the Webster's Dictionary. And he applied it in that way. The cares of this world. That's mental pain, worry, anxiety. These are all things that can cause us to have our heads hang down and cause us not to be looking up. If all of these things are taking place in our life, the day of the coming of the Lord will come upon us unawares. This is the reason why we need to be like Abraham of the day. We need to be knowledgeable of the Word of God. We need to be in a place where the Word of God is being taught. Verse 35 says, "For as a snare shall it come upon all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth, and we are to watch ye therefore, and pray always, that ye may be counted worthy to escape all these things." Notice it's watching and praying. What things do we want to escape? We want to escape from surfeiting, drunkenness, and the cares of this life. If we can be escaped from these things, that day will not come upon us unaware. We will not be hanging our heads down. We will not be hanging our harps on a willow tree. We won't be quitting. And that we can become discouraged. We need to watch and be praying. Prayer is important in this as well. But we need to be watching and praying and knowledgeable. What will happen? Well, Matthew 25, verse 13 says, "Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." You won't be ready when He does if you're not watching for Him. Matthew 25, verses 10 through 12, it says, "While they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. And afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But He answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not." This doesn't have anything to do with lost and saved people and the lost people being excluded. This means saved people that are not knowledgeable in the Word and have not prepared themselves. And notice that the preparation for entrance into the wedding was having an extra vessel of oil. And you had to go buy it for yourself. This is not salvation. You don't buy your salvation. The foolish virgins just were not knowledgeable, and they did not prepare themselves. In fact, oil is a picture or type of the Holy Spirit, but it also is a picture or type of the Word. They were short on the Word. They were short on the ministry of the Holy Spirit in their life, and they were not prepared. And we need to be prepared, and the way we can do that is being knowledgeable of the Word. They had no extra oil. Verse 8 and 9 tells us, "The foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are going out." Not gone out, going out. But the wise answered, saying, "Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourself." There's one thing that can happen. All we can do is encourage other people to put in the effort to get their life straight and right, but we can't give them anything that we have, basically speaking, to help them to get through. We need to know that. The passage that we read earlier this morning, or been read to us, is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 6 through 8. Wherefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. This is preparation. Where do you sleep? In the night. You don't have the knowledge of the Word of God? You know what? Satan can put you to sleep. You remember when the apostles were in the garden with the Lord? What happened to them? Well, they were all sleeping. They were all sleepy. You know why they were sleepy? It's because that hour was the hour and the power of darkness. Satan was working in the garden with Jesus there, and he was putting his apostles to sleep. We're living in the day when Satan knows his time is short, and the power of Satan is coming. In fact, we just got through reading in Luke's account that the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Remember we read that in Luke chapter 21 and verse 26? The powers of heaven shall be shaken. Who are the powers of heaven that are going to be shaken? They're the devil and his angels. They know what's going on. I tell you, the devil knows the Word of God. He's been around long enough to know it very well, and he does. And so he knows his time is short. He doesn't know when, but he knows his time is short. But he doesn't give up. And we need to appreciate the fact that he doesn't give up, and neither should we. So, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch, and don't be overcharged. Don't be sober. Be moderate. Don't let the cares of this world and all the things that can cause our hearts to be overcharged interfere with our preparing to meet the Lord. Let us who of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love. Faith and love, what does that mean? You keep pleasing God, because without faith it is impossible to please Him. And you can't, faith doesn't work apart from love. Secondly, and by the way, love has to do with ministry to the saints, washing their feet. For an helmet, the hope of salvation. We need to protect the what? Our thought life. Our thought life. Because Satan is going to cause us to be like Rehoboam. Start thinking things that's going to cause us to do things that are going to make God angry with us, and we don't want to do that. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8, in closing, it says, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord the righteous judge shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all of them that love his appearing. Have you ever heard anybody talk about how they love the Lord's appearing? They're looking for Jesus' return. Did you know that just loving his appearing is not enough? It's important. It's essential. But you know what else has got to be included with loving his appearing? It's verse 7 of 2 Timothy 4. What should we be doing? We should be fighting a good fight. We should be finishing our course. We need to keep the faith. We need to keep on pleasing Him regardless. And if these things are in place, then we will have a crown of righteousness to look forward to. And that's what Abraham was looking forward to. That's what Noah was looking forward to. He became the heir of the righteousness which is of faith. And God counted to Abraham the righteousness which is of faith, because God counted to Abraham his faith. We need to continue. The word fight in this verse, 2 Timothy 4, 7, is the word agonai. That's the Greek word from which we get the word agony. It's not easy to keep on the edge of preparing for the Lord's return. And we need to finish and not quit. It's easy to quit. We need to finish. 1 Corinthians, Paul tells those at Corinth, watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Be like men. Be strong. You can't be weak if you're going to expect to look for the Lord's return. May the Lord help us to be like Abraham, worshiping, having fellowship with Him, our heads lifted up, looking, waiting, anticipating. And the Lord let Abraham know what was going on. And He'll do the same thing, because we are of the day and not of the night. I just thank the Lord that we can be in the light of His Word. Father, we just thank You for Your Word. We thank You, Father, for helping us to appreciate the fact that You're coming again real soon. And we need to be prepared to meet Thee. We want to be able to stand in Your presence approved. We don't want You, Lord, to say You can't come in because You didn't prepare. But Lord, help us to be like the wise virgins, preparing ourselves for the day when You come again, so that we can go out to meet You with joy and rejoicing of heart, to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant, and enter into the joy of the Lord. Bless the message to each of our hearts. Help us, Lord, to be watching and praying in these days. For it's in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen and amen.